It's the motherfucking Millennial Miha podcast.
Yes, it is. It's the motherfucking Millennial Miha podcast. We're back. And today I'm here with my friend, Jose Richard Aviles, also known as Nalgona. I love to have you with me.
I felt very princess.
He's so magical. You're magical. What can we say?
Buenas noches.
Everyone, we have a vibe for you, and it's...
Hasta que te conocí.
What is this? Explain to me what we're hearing.
Yo, just, you know, a person that's inspiring me right now, a lot of Juan Gabriel. All of the lyrics, the queer coding, the performance, the spirit, and I'm like, damn. I was just telling, mire, con esto vamos a empezar ya. I was telling Angie, I was like, yo, if I could travel back in time, I would travel back to when Juan Gabriel is 30 so I could fuck him.
That's what she said.
Listen, and because we live in the multiverse in a different life, Abrázame Muy Fuerte was written about me.
Yeah, as a previous because, and lover. Then what, didn't you write that as a poem? Time,
I did write a poem called Abrázame, yeah.
See, you look at it, see how it all comes together?
Yeah, but he has so many great songs. Like, I think about freaking Así Fue, that was written for Isabel Pantoja. I think about Diferencia, which Chente sang. Luna, Ana Gabriel. I mean, the songs that he wrote for women's voices are also fascinating.
Yeah.
I could write a whole thesis about
it. I think you can, and I know you can, because that's the reason why I have you on here. Because I love to listen to this man speak and talk. Yes, yes. And I was just telling him before we started that I love to listen to him talk because I feel like he explains things to me in a way that I can understand deeply, as opposed to learning those things in college, which felt like very like, I think I kind of get that, but, you know, I don't understand it. And so that is an introduction to how I met you, because I met your voice before I met you.
That's real.
I met you on Clubhouse.
Yeah.
I met you on Clubhouse. We're all great romances. And friend romances begin.
Oh my God, romances on Clubhouse.
Vemos. Okay, so yes, he has a lot of stories about that.
I know, not a lot of stories, but it's just been funny. It's a funny application, you know, even the fight and shit.
Oh, God, the pettiness, the drama, the oh, my God, no, she did not.
Chica. Let me see if I can share your live on my Facebook.
Yeah, we're going to be live on everything. OK, you guys, we're going to be on live. We're on live on YouTube right now. We're on Instagram live, and we're also on TGN Latinx on the Good News Radio. So we're national right now. We're on national radio.
Oh, what?
And yeah. So they're listening to us, and there's a chat, and I don't know how to find it, but if you will you look at my live and see if there's any comments, and if there is, tell me what they are, please. Thank you so much. Okay, so we're gonna make this work, okay? Because this time I want audience to be involved, because to me, Jose Richard is a true artist. Oh, and you know, these are let's talk about your introductions, your titles. Okay, so okay. The first one is Artivista.
Sí.
The second one is Social Worker. And then that's not enough, so you had to get a second master's and become an urban planner. Overachiever. And then we have TEDx speaker as well, which yes. I loved your TED Talk. It was so different from any TED Talk I had ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that TEDx taught me how to be an artist in so many ways. I learned a lot about what I do, what I find fun and enjoyable, and the magic of a stage. Ugh, that's what that TEDx taught me. So I think all of these things, I don't know, it's been so hard to balance between like what you should be doing professionally, what or whatever that even means, but how do you navigate this game? And then like, you know, you have to have titles. But to me, I think I like to think that I show up in all of those ways in everything that I do. Like even now in the work that I do as an urban planner, I talk about trauma. I try to remember, you know, the values of social work and be like, no, I'm committed to people and not institutions. And then so, you know, with the other stuff, and yes, the artistry has been really fun.
So I also did a TEDx talk and it taught me a lot. And I don't watch it because I'm like, there's so many things that are like, oh, I would definitely not have said that or wore that or just, you know, like, I don't know. I look back on it, but then it also taught me about that love for the stage And one thing that might be interesting to know about this beautiful man is that he's actually really shy in person.
Yeah.
When I first met you, I was like, so like, wait, what?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I guess one of the things that I've learned has been like, maybe it has been this year or I don't know what it is, but something about like, okay, ensuring that I just have something for me and just being so comfortable with myself. So I think a lot of the times when I'm more shy and quiet, bitch, I'm also high. aquí se habla con la verdad. Aquí sin pelos en la lengua.
Always. That's why we love you.
Bien moteada, bien moteada. Este, you know, so... Yeah, but I also really enjoy just like how my mind works. That sometimes I think that time we saw each other, I was like in my mind and I was just seeing connections and things. And I was like, oh, that's a new project or that's a new
goal. Yeah.
And uh-huh. So I was like, I'm in my, you know, I love my work. So that was a fun moment. But I realize now just to have some moment that are my moments, I think, you know, recently I've been going to a dance class. This is my second time. I'm like, you know, showing up is half the battle. I haven't danced like this in a while and I want to dance again. And today was so beautiful and so magical that I was like, oh, okay. So that's, you know, what I'm diving into again. But that's not my little moment. So I can be, you know, what I have to be. And be. Because, yo, this shit, being an artist, is some energy work.
It's energy work. It's like I don't think people understand that because even doing things like writing books or like doing a podcast, like it takes a lot of emotional and intellectual energy, which you somehow make into art because it's different every time. Mm. And I think that you, with your artistry, you are, in my opinion, you're a true artist because you use words, you use your body, you use music, you use all of these things that come together to kind of like create video, like digital art, you know, like the fashion, all those things, like everything is art. And so to me, that's like a definition of a true artist, which like someone who just creates, it's like there's what medium, all mediums, you know? So that's what I think is really beautiful about you. But I want to get into, before we ask questions about today and... Every time you do a Vogue, that's what's gonna happen. You should just carry that sound like with you. You know what? That would be cool. You should do that. You should like definitely keep like sound effects now. Like just another level of the drama. That's part of the drama. But I
have to tell you at some point, remind me to tell you, I don't do TikTok like that, but I did one video that has like 120,000 views, and I was like, what did I do? And it's literally me. Just a quick interjection, me being drunk in Guadalajara on top of a stool, and I asked the DJ that the last song be Gata Bajo La Lluvia, and I convinced her, and literally I'm on the stool just singing my heart out. Now, I was very drunk, y'all, so it was very flat. It wasn't my greatest thing. It's not my best work, but I was able to put the song, like a good editing that it looks like I'm lip singing, and people love that shit.
120,000 views?
I was like, is this what my TikTok is? That drunk lip syncing? Oh my God, maybe.
You found a new niche.
I found it.
He found his next project. You, everyone,
oh my God.
Get ready for that.
¿Te imaginas Kawama karaoke?
Usually I do updates like... Usually I do updates of like weekend stuff, but this is a different format because this, you know, we're here and this is going to go how it's going to go. So... What did you do this weekend?
This weekend? I mean, I just took a dance class.
You performed?
I performed on Saturday.
Mercadito.
Oh, that was yesterday, chica. Oh, my God. yes, I performed at the Queer Mercado.
Ay, señora.
Chica. no, I performed at the Queer Mercado yesterday, which is amazing. If y'all have not gone to the Queer Mercado, you should definitely go. It is at the Hilda Solis Learning Center. Oh, don't quote me on that. But it's Hilda Solis. I don't know the last two words. But it's he's in LA because they'd be having titles, girl.
Yeah. Performing Arts Center right. For the everything.
Right, exactly. But Hilda Solis, East LA, Queer Mercado is going to happen. The algorithm will
wait, but you. I saw you with a picture of Frida and you were like, este pinche vieja. Like, why did you say that or what? I was like, this fool.
It's because, look, okay, so...
Well, I mean, we did see your tweet that you know, for Latinx Heritage Month, that we're more than just Conchas, Selena, and Frida.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think it's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. I love the fact that we have more representation. I think from what I remember seeing being in elementary school or whatever, because unlike many people, we were actually born in LA.
Show us.
But I think, you know, from what I've seen in the work that I've helped, you know, do with marriage equality when I was in high school, like, I think that that's wild. I forget that I was like one of the speakers at the National Equality March and I was like 18.
Yeah, dude, that's what I was when I was stalking his, you know, Instagram. I was just learning more and more about you. And I was like, no, you've always been like this. Like, there wasn't like a blossoming. It was just kind of like who you already were.
Yeah, I mean, and there were lessons that I learned along the way. I think one of my good mentors, Dr. Destiny Thomas, shout out to her, founder of the Thrivance Group. Amazing mentor, an urban planner. She taught me, she asked me a question once of like, who are you without your trauma? And I was like, bitch,
I don't know. I'm trying to find out.
But the one thing that came out very confidently was artist. I just feel, since I can remember, there's always been something in my mind, in my brain, in my imagination that it's like, oh, this is, I mean, I love this shit. And I think I'm glad I didn't, I'm glad I have the, I'm happy that I see that now and not when I was younger, because I think all of the organizing that I did, all of the, you know, the work to make the world better, right, and try to end inequalities and shit, I was like, I'm glad I went through that, because if not, I would have been a really fucked up artist. Like, you know what I mean? But I'm very happy and I honor, like, where I come from. And it's community that taught me how to do art, honestly.
Yeah.
Community taught me how to do art.
And it's all that all like relates to the urban planning and the social work. It's literally like, I don't know, what do you call that? It's like an ecosystem of art that you kind of exist in.
Oh my God, I got a chismecito too.
Oh, tell me.
Let's get to some of the other questions.
Okay. So I want to start by talking about your childhood, because like, I feel like we need to know, like, where you grew up and how it influenced you. Tell me about that.
I mean, born and raised in South Central. We were just talking about that, right? You know, went to Normandy Avenue Elementary.
Let them know.
Went to Fauché for middle school and high school.
Fauché.
That's a whole little segment. Ugh, that deserves a story.
That alone deserves an episode of your podcast, which you need to make.
Vemos. But also the bus. I mean, I grew up on the bus. You know, I was in middle school where my mom, like, you know, I had to go from home to the to school, and I went on the bus. And I think from there, you have to get a bus pass. And then I think very quickly I realized that I had a passport to the city. I was like, oh, shit. Like, I can get some places on the bus. You know what I mean? So all of then, as I started getting older, like, I was like, fuck it, let me ride out on the bus. And in high school, I mean, I did some wild shit, y'all, on the bus.
Wait, name your wild, just say your wildest story. What's the wildest thing you did on the bus?
I know, chica.
That you're willing to share. Dime, señora.
Ay, ¿cuál de todas? Oh, girl, chica. I think one time I was coming home. Where was I coming? Oh, I had gone to the beach. Okay, so I really don't enjoy going to the beach so much now.
On the bus?
Mm-hmm. Girl, the 720 all the way down here and shit, all the way on Wilshire, you end up at the Santa Monica. Fuck the expo line, too. I mean, yeah, fuck the expo line, you know? Yeah, I was like, we're going to go there. But, you know, I just remember, like, trips like that were dope. Oh, bitch, one time I went on a date with someone in Sylmar.
And you had to take public transportation out there.
Bus to Sylmar.
If you don't know, Sylmar is a fucking mission from LA. Like, in a car, in just your own car. Like,
chica.
How many buses, trains, and.
Bitch, wait, the crazy planes, one is I went to Agoura Hills on the bus. I need to figure out if I can do that trip again. Bitch, I've been trying to remember it, but I took. Okay, this is for people who grew up on the bus. This is a little bit for y'all. Okay, so I grew up on Vernon in Vermont, so it was a 754 all the way to Wilshire, then to get on the red line all the way to North Hollywood, and then you have to transfer to the orange line way down to Chatsworth, and then there's a bus. I don't remember this bus. But this bus would go from Westchester, and literally would go to Agoura Hills at a plaza. It was called the West Side. No, it's not the West Side Pavilion. It's something, but it's like a little fucking mall. Bitch, uh-huh. I went to the theater on a date there, and I realized that that's where the Kardashians had their store, like back in the day.
I was like, Dash. Oh, I recall from the show. What were you like as a kid?
I think very forgetful, bitch. Okay, for Harry Potter nerds, because porque somos ñoños también, I would definitely say that a bitch needed a remember all. Like, a bitch needs something. Wait.
Describe it. What does that mean?
This remember all, it's like this little object in Harry Potter, right? And you would grab it, and anytime you forgot something, it would turn red, and they gave it to Neville and you know, one of the characters or whatever. But it was supposed to remind you when you forget things.
Okay, I would love to have that because, goddamn.
Right. And so the funny thing is, I'm always forgetful. I've always been forgetful. My mom really did not like the fact that I always lost my house keys.
Oh, so I can relate to that. Wow.
Yeah, and even to this day, I lock myself out. And I'm just like, why? But, you know, soy bien torpe. Mm-hmm. I think that's always been something that since a little kid, muy torpe. But I was also very imaginative. I think now when I look back at my childhood, it was really imaginative. I remember, like, bitch, I learned how to throw a frisbee because of Sailor Moon. You know, like that bitch in the first season would take her tiara, be like, Moon tiara power.
Wow.
And I was like, that's how you throw frisbees. I find out that that's not the way. But I think a lot of that, there's a really funny story where my mom, one of the first albums that I remember my mom or my dad, somebody bought this album, Pies Descalzos, Sueños Blancos de Shakira, and that shit was fun, and I love that album. And I think my mom once caught me on the floor just rolling around. She's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm dancing.
You're like, watch me be who I am.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, oh my God, that's funny. Oh, my mom's your perception mom of me must be funny.
Are you a hybrid of your mom and dad's personality? Because I am. I feel like I'm this like really weird hybrid offspring of like personality wise. So who in your family are you most like, or who are you a mix of and why?
You know, I think that my father has been lessons learned, whether good or bad, but my father and I think that relationship has been lessons learned. And that could mean many different things, but, you know, they've been both good and bad. But my mother, I think I have a beautiful perception of my mom, and I think I'm building a healthier relationship. It's something that I'm learning to do now even more. You know, it's fun to be an adult and have a conversation, and as an adult now, I think my mom can be assured that I've learned to do in whatever way the things that would make her worry less about me. Mm. So I'm like, okay, cool. And yeah, so I think I very am my mother's spirit. I think I am a manifestation of what my mom was, you know, an amplification of her spirit. Mm-hmm. And then with my dad, it'd been lessons learned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what was home like? Was your dad was there, not there?
Yeah, my dad was there. He's my stepfather, but to me, he's my father figure.
Yeah.
And my dad was there, and, you know, and my mom has always just been, I think because, one, being the product of a prior relationship, and then also being queer, I think of what my mom, like, felt her mothering and parenting had to be for me, to take care of me. Oh, bitch.
That's pretty deep.
So, you know, I'm happy. She did very right things. I wouldn't be here without my mother. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, whatever, you know, we can talk about things I need to get mended and building healthy relationship. But also let me not belittle that I am only great because she raised me.
Mm.
Oh.
I love it. Was home a happy place?
You know what? For me, it was. And there's in the moments where I feel like it hasn't been happy, I've learned to work through them. I've tried to end those cycles as much as I can, right? And continue to do that. But, you know, like all families, we have our trapos sucios.
So I also read, or I don't know where, when I was talking to you, I found this fact that you were in 15 quinceañeras.
I said that in the TED Talk.
Oh, in the TED Talk. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if the exact number is 15. Ay, ya me escuché hablar. Why would you give me a microphone? It's like,
this is your enticement to know what it feels like to do your podcast, which you will be starting next week. I'm just kidding.
Ay, cállate. We'll talk about that later. Okay. Maybe we can soundboard it. Okay. That'd be fun. And then it's like a thing. Okay, cool.
You could be on this network.
we'll see.
Make it happen. Okay, anyways.
Pero no, like, I was in a bunch of quinceañeras. I think about now in the quinceañeras, it was like I was a chambelán. And to be honest, like, quinceañeras taught me also so much about being an artist. Like, I didn't have ballet class. I didn't have tap, jazz, yeah. Nothing like mm-hmm. that. But I had the discipline of showing up after school at someone's backyard to do fucking dance.
Punta.
You know what I mean? Punta, no baile sorpresas. And I think about the choreographers. I have a handful of maybe choreographers that I can remember. Maybe not like physically, but their energy. And be like, y'all were hella queer and I'm grateful.
Yeah, like you know some what I mean? Form of role model. Yeah, like,
oh, what's up? And you know, and it's so funny because then I became a dance major and like... I've always wondered, I was like, I should choreograph a quinceañera.
Oh,
but now that
yeah.
we're older, I've had friends be like, what, if I can marry, you should do like our little choreography. And I was like, down. You know, not like in the sense of like a hustle, but like a joy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like quinceañeras.
Like a creative direction or like a creative participation in something like that. Because that's yeah, just who you already are.
And you know quinceañeras were fucking production.
No, hella production.
Like, hella production. It was a community funded production mm-hmm. because let's not forget the padrinas.
Yeah, yeah.
The madrines and the padrines.
So I want to know, talk to me about being a queer boy in that environment, like growing up in South Central.
You know, girl, a couple things, right? So, you know, wow. I think about, for example, with going with staying with quinceañeras, like it's one of those things where it's like I was asked to be in so many quinceañeras because I was a good dancer, but it was like an expression of my spirit, my queerness. Like the first iterations, you know, where I talk about it in the TED Talk, like I discovered my body, and so I think a lot about quinceañeras, and I think I was in that space, had the opportunity to do so. And then I was also part of like South Central, right? And like, you know, I remember like when in middle school, just starting to have the conversations about getting banged on and what that meant, right? And then, you know, just understanding that politic and that geography, because I mean, you know, there's relationships and I knew what bus stops to get on and which ones to get off at, what routes to take, you know, like that's how I navigated.
Like you're navigating this, yeah, this like...
Yeah, you know, one of
this
my
world, fa- that's favorite, its own world.
One of my favorite bus stops, I put this in the story yesterday, is the bus stop on Olympic and La Cienega off the 105, because I grew up on the 105. That's the bus that runs down Vernon. See, the urban planner shows up and like I can't, it's everything. But like that bus stop to me is fascinating because it's the Beverly Hills Tennis Center across the street. And then on the other side is a 7-Eleven. Mm-hmm. And the bus stop is on 7-Eleven, but not at the Beverly Hills Tennis Center. And you ask yourself, why?
Yeah.
And if you really know Los Angeles, you know, you just know when you're crossing places. Like, for example, fucking Crenshaw becomes, what is it? Is it Rossmore? No. But it's one of the streets that goes up into like by Atwater Village into like Hancock Park area.
Mm-hmm.
But like it's like quick boundaries. If you know Wilshire, south of Wilshire is very different as of north of Wilshire. So
yeah, they're both different. It's a dividing line between mm-hmm. the haves and the have nots.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious to know more about your, I guess, ability to be unapologetically yourself in that environment, because there's like this, you said this in another interview, you said, I am not normal, I am unapologetically abnormal, the world is normal, so in juxtaposition to the world I become art. I was like, damn. I was like, hold on, wait,
where's that from,
girl? I don't know. It's from some video, some post, something. I don't even remember where I got it, but I was like, that fits with that, because like it is a juxtaposition, you against that backdrop. Like that's your backdrop, but you're still who you are.
You know, one of the things that I say, you know what I really should do again?
What?
Maybe, oh, okay. Cause I've been thinking about doing a little performance in LA.
Like a one-man show?
No, I wouldn't say that. But like some of the things...
No, that's what it would be.
I mean...
Because you would do it your way and you would do it
but
like...
But I'm thinking about it like, bitch, in December.
That's soon.
Like posada-ish kind of feel. Noche con
Champurrado. Agona.
Champurrado, bitch.
Spiked.
Okay, ideas. Pero I think I should redo the TED Talk. The only reason I say that is because I think what you just said about the juxtaposition or whatever, that's something that I said in the TED Talk where I said, one of my favorite excerpts. When I used to go into the dance studio, I wanted to be the master of my craft. I wanted to be the Picasso, the next Jackson Pollock, the next Frida. The fact that I talk shit.
I was like,
if we've grown.
I'm not gonna bring it up.
Change is a thing. I said that, and then I said, but what I failed to realize then, and I know now, is that I went into the studio looking for the masterpiece in all the wrong places, for I am the masterpiece.
There it is. It's true. And the fact that you can quote yourself, I can't do it, but I love you for it. Talk to me about the journey of becoming unapologetic, because like, or was there no journey, because that's just always how you were?
I think that's always how I was. I just found different avenues and different ways to amplify that little voice and that little spirit. I mean, like, when I was organizing, I learned everything that I know about urban planning without knowing the foundation of what I believe in as a planner comes from the Bus Riders Union. And to know that I was like, you know, and it started off like, again, I've been riding the bus and literally someone approached me. At this point, I was that queer kid that was trying to learn how to knit. The fuck? And I remember
I'm knitting, right?
And an awesome queer person that I know that it's been also a mentor, femtor.
That's cool.
You heard it here. I know.
You heard it here first, folks.
Ya se me salió lo vida.
Trademark.
No, stupid. Just hashtag. Hashtag, it's like its own quasi-trademark.
Yeah, yeah.
Pero este, ajá. And so then I just learned everything that I know about the Bus Riders Union. So I think from there, I learned about organizing. I was out on the streets. Like, my first LA Pride was maybe when I was like 14, 15. And it was a march with the Bus Riders Union. You know what
so
I mean?
So it's like intersection, always intersection.
Yeah, because the people who were there organizing and all the folks that I know from the BRU when I was a part of it in my capacity was just like this politic. And Carla Gonzalez, love Carla. Oh, shout out to her. Just realizing, like, that's where I found my voice, like learning to chant from my diaphragm and chanting, and the chants were all about justice. And I think I still believe strongly, right, in transit justice as a bus rider, a rider myself, even to this day. That's where I started finding my voice, you know what I mean? And I think as marriage equality came around, maybe it was a form of tokenization of like, let's get this brown young person.
Like the campaign. Very outspoken. Yeah, the poster child.
Right. Oh my God, there's this funny video from one of the protest rallies that we did in Fresno in 2008 or at 9 at this point. I don't remember. But it's in Fresno, and literally the person who introduces us, the voice of the LGBTQ youth. And I was like, what the fuck?
Voice of, yeah, you that's know, very,
but,
yeah.
But you're young, right? And so whatever, the National Equality March. I mean, sometimes I don't know why it's, I don't know what the lesson, well, no, I learned a lot of lessons.
No, it's all of these things were leading you to find your voice, which is what you just said.
Yeah, and again, I'm happy that my voice as an artist has come from organizing. Like, that's the roots. Mm-hmm. That's where I discovered what that protest is. And of course, with the BRU, like the drum and chant, like the drum line was bomb. Like, we were chanting, we would dance, and like, yo.
All these things are intertwined. Yeah.
Oh my God. So one of them is, we're the BRU and this is our fight. Mass transportation is human rights. We want 50 cent fares and $20 passes because mass transportation belongs to the masses. We're the BRU. Like that. The BRU in that moment. So much of who I love. So I think it's been all that. And then because I was speaking, I mean, to think about the fact that I didn't do the speech at 18 in front of like the fucking what was it?
The president.
No, I mean, it was somewhere in these people. What was it? Ay, sí, ya se me están olvidando las cosas, güey.
La señora.
Ay, for real. I mean, you are doing this work for a long time in many different ways. No, pero I just remember that moment and now I'm like, bitch, I said it in front of like the National Lawn. That's right. Not the National Lawn, but the thing where the obelisk.
Oh, uh-huh.
The National Mall.
I don't know what that's called.
Whatever, there. Right? But I think about it, and I'm just like, oh, holy shit, I spoke in front of like 250,000 people. What? And I think there's a moment, because I know myself, and I look at that speech is still out there. I know when I like am having that moment in real time of like, oh, fucked me up and I stutter. I mean, or like I fuck up a little bit in yeah. what I was trying to say. Mm-hmm. But I think about it and I was like, yo, I've been doing this for a while, no? And a lot of that, then now I think about it now, it's like, okay, what I do as an artist, I know I could one day reach an audience of 250,000 because I did it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to think about that was like, what a position. Like
it puts you, it gives you this, it gives you this option to dream so much bigger. And, you know, like you spoke, you're speaking about yourself finding your voice as a speaker. But I want to talk about your relationship with words because you speak in poems and that's my language. So when you talk, I listen. And I just, talk to me about your relationship with words.
Listen, I think because I came from this place of like...
Written and spoken.
Yeah, and I think when I was younger, I mean, I didn't write things. I think as I did, I just got up there and did the situation. Mm-hmm. I think I've always just had this little voice and I've been happy. Again, I go back to the bus pass was the passport to the city. Like I, mm-hmm. you know, could be, do all these things. Pero I remember for one piece that we had to do, I had to do, I think, like a 15-minute piece. And it was the first time that it was like, the first thing I started performing when I came back was my senior thesis piece that I did in undergrad. Because it was like the only thing I remembered in my body. And I was like, okay, I'm going to present this shit. Like, that's what I've done, right? And then some more pieces started growing out of it. But for one piece in particular, I did a poem, I guess, you know, it's like that first piece that I did, and it was very powerful. Digo un discurso, you know, like I said some shit, right? And it's very powerful, and I learned a lot about that, and I was like, oh my God, okay, learning to love me, that poem, and it's changed. And then sort of things just started happening, and then, of course, with Semilla, the book that I published last year, it was like, okay, fuck it. Okay, I'm learning a lot more. And now just started seeing poems more often and writing more often and thinking in poetry more often. But also it's realized, like, that's always who I've been. Like, because my voice doesn't make sense. I've always had a hard time sometimes explaining myself. Like, mm-hmm. I'm a very visionary person, but I hate writing that shit. Like, yeah. Because I'm just like...
barrier. That's to me, that's a barrier. Like, my world was opened up to books recently when I discovered audiobooks because it was very difficult for me. Like I read books like painstakingly because it was hard for me to sit still and sit there and read the book. But I just got access to this whole new world of knowledge. Like now that it changed the medium through which I received the information. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. And so that's how I came through. But you know, and again, I think the only thing I've ever learned as an artist has been, also, I mean, to think about that, I went to art school, whatever that means, right? But at a liberal arts college, it was cute. But, you know, the only thing I knew how to do was choreograph. And I think what was started becoming interesting was that the only way I could remember this poem as I started performing a little bit more was by thinking of it, the cadence. To me, the cadence became, it's like the choreography of word. Mm-hmm. And so
that is a big one.
You
that's
know,
a big one.
And that's how I've memorized and learned these things. But I think even then transitioning into the book, like one of my gender poems was born as an improv. You know what I mean? Like I took notes and I knew what I was going to do. And I was like, this is the structure and I'm just going to go. And I had someone recorded it and then I wrote it down and I edited it. But the poem was born just mm-hmm. by doing it. But now when I wrote the book, like, you know, writing and paying attention to words and they have a relationship with each other on page and not on a stage. Like that's been something fun that I'm learning. But and then like I'm writing more in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, recently I had a conversation with a friend and I was like, okay, cool. You know, I talked about the idea for this thing. He gave me, you know, we talked about possibly doing it like an English translation and a Spanish translation. And I was like, dope, right? This duality. But ensuring that everything is being written from Spanish right now has been really nice.
Yeah. I think
that goes so often to Mexico.
Yeah. That's like you're always over there. But I saw this tweet that you said, English is my language of function, but Spanish is my language of expression. I think in English, pero amo en español.
Yes. Ay, qué rico. Qué rico. I don't know. I think of just like, you know, especially as someone who went through like a college prep program, like so much about higher education was talked about, and it was like, y'all, you know, we have to do higher education or whatever. Like, education is the gateway out of poverty is a thing that's been, you know, people share and talk about, or have talked about, like, early, like maybe in the 90s.
But it ain't the only way. I just want to point that out.
Exactly. No, exactly.
And sometimes when you get a degree, especially one that didn't make no fucking sense, it doesn't matter. I mean, like, you're not out of poverty. You're still there. You just got a paper that says you're smart.
Exactly. Like, and I think I come from a philosophy that was very much ingrained in that. So I had to do like college prep, and I went to Saturday school 6 days a week for like 6 years. You know what I mean? Like, sheesh. That was a thing. And so I think I've always had this imposter syndrome in this relationship to like what English is. And it's just like, you know, especially for me at the moment, and little that I know, like I knew I was going to go to undergrad out of state. And to me, that was my way out of like LA and my home to be a queer full self. You know what I mean? Just given what the things that I've, you know, the things that I've been through and the things, you know, the bullying and shit like that. I was like, maybe my way and my self-determination is coming out when I go to college, right? And it happened in a weird way. But I also then think about the thing that always grounds me, though, is Spanish. It's, you know, there's no way, like, all even all the music that I listen to, I don't really listen to music in English. I listen to more music in Spanish. Mm. Like, I love me a good, like, Mexican 90s pops, you know what I mean? Some fucking Faye.
Wait a minute. So, do we have some right here?
Oh my god, Faye is there. Amor Eterno.
Oh, let's see.
No, Amor Eterno. Freudian slip is there.
This is a song. Well, tell me about this song.
Oh, I love this song. I love this song. I don't know. I think it was just like I might have heard this song at a quinceañera.
Most definitely.
This is a song that was played at a quinceañera.
Most definitely.
And I just remember being like, you know, you're one of the chambelanes, so it's like your excuse to have a little party and shit. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And so I just remember having a great time and dancing through the shit. And
I'm gonna put it. You want? What did you say? Wanga?
No, este.
Amor Eterno.
No, not Amor Eterno. Sorry. Say Media Naranja, maybe, I think it is.
Mediana qué? Oh, no, let me go to YouTube.
Ya estoy bien.
Wait, let's not get sued by Ivy Queen for playing her music for too long. We can change it.
I'm trying to figure it out.
We'll get to it. But talk to me about culture, because you were recently, were you booked and busy for Hispanic Heritage Month?
You know,
we all got bookings. I mean, I know some of us got more than others. You know, some of us got a billboard in Times Square. Let's talk about that.
I mean, but I'm trying to find a way how maybe I can go live but turn the sound down. You know what I mean?
That sounds like really technologically advanced.
Let's see what happens. Oh,
you, yeah, no, but you would have to get out of my live. You could go live also.
Oh. Dumb. Okay. I was like, oh wait.
Isn't it so funny when really, really smart people have those moments? Like,
you're stupid.
I have it all the time. I always say I am like the dumbest smart person. Hola. Oh my god.
Okay, cute.
See, we could have been doing this. Now bitch. we're live on another platform on at Soy Nalgona on Instagram.
Started.
What about you?
I would.
Wait, do you know I never even did the weekend things I wanted to say about this restaurant that I went to.
Do it. And then I'll fix this.
No, and we still have way more questions to ask you.
I'm saying, say those updates. And while you're saying that, I'm going to adjust this so we can be good.
Okay. We will. Okay. What did I do this weekend? You told me what you did. And then I just like dove into Nalgona's life story, and I loved every minute of it. But okay, so Friday was date night, and the food was whack at Lazy Dog. It was good enough to eat, but the dessert was better. The dessert was really good. We had butter cake, and it had strawberries and ice cream, and it was just really delicious. And then on Saturday, I went to Desiana's book release. This book that she released is called The Becoming of Her. And I want to give a shout out to Desiana Torres, because she is from East Oakland, and she is also a social worker. Mm. She just graduated with her master's. And all of her poetry just comes from a really honest place. And that is that's something that I want to promote. I want to promote brown girls writing and also inspiring each other and, you know, being like mentors to each other, you know, because she came to me before she wrote this book and I was able to see her through the whole process.
That's beautiful.
And so it's like we have to keep doing that. Because if you don't do that, like if you don't like reach back and be like, this is, I'm going to try to save you some time. Don't do this. Do this, this, right, this. Right. Go this way. And you're going to have your own journey. But I'm just passing on what I figured out from this process, you know. And so there, I told everything that I told her about how I wrote my book. Mm-hmm. I gave her like all of the things I wish I didn't do. I was like, this is what I did. But these are the things I wish I didn't do. I'm not telling you to do them or not do them, but this is my information. Right, this is my part of my story, you know, and also just encouraging her to kind of like spread those wings, because a lot of us know we have stuff inside that we need to share, but we just are scared for whatever reason. We know we have wings. We just don't know if they work.
Right.
Because
we
never jumped. And the jump is the book. The jump is the book, yeah. Semilla.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You know, yeah, that's the jump. I mean, but you've been jumping, you know, like all of these different ways, you know, so that's like a different metaphor. Well, who knows? That was another one of these moments. We went into the zone. Oh, we're so cute. Take a picture, someone. let's get back into this interview because we had a good little break there. But I want to talk about... you didn't talk about your Times Square thing.
Oh, I mean, you know, that was wild.
So what was it for Spotify?
Yes, it was, one of the folks, one of the part of Spotify's Latinx Heritage Month for 2021. And I mean, just even like it's because how it happened was just so funny. But, you know, I get a message from a casting director, Mexican casting director. I had to like, you know, send a thank you. And they were just like, I would love to put you part of this project. And I was like, okay, whatever. And I was like, what project? And then,
and I was like,
you know, and then, you know, I found out after, you know, that it was Spotify and I was like, oh shit. Yeah. Okay. What do I got to do? And so, you know, I did the thing. And then, you know,
I send the invoice to?
Right. And I was just a little nervous because I was just like, okay, I don't know, like, what, you know, the rollout. Yeah, there was like, of course, Latinx Heritage Month. So I was like, that's around the corner. So I didn't know anything, right? And I'm on my way to New York for something to go visit a friend. And, you know, I was talking to Las Esmadrosas. and then I think it might have been Jessica who was like, bitch, where are they gonna put those pictures? And I was like, I don't know. And then she was like, oh my god, imagine if it's in Times Square, fucking Algona in Times Square. And I was like, bitch, don't say that, like I'm on my way to New York. You know what I mean? I was like, oh my god. And then I was like, I mean,
so you just happened to be there, like,
yeah. And I was like, okay, I mean, what? And then after that, so then, you know, I'm in New York already, didn't know again how the campaign was gonna roll out or anything like that. But then I get the notification on Instagram that says Spotify tagged you in a post. And I was like, wait, what?
What's the post?
And then I saw it and I was like, holy shit, what the fuck? And that was wild. And then, you know, someone else who was also part of the campaign posted a story with somebody had messaged them and were like, listen, I was at the gym and I saw your face in the background of Good Morning America.
Good Morning America!
And not me, this is like somebody else in the campaign, right? So yeah. When they post this story, I was like, oh shit, they did put them in Times Square. And then I was like, oh yeah, oh my god, I'm gonna go after work. So I go after work with my friend. And then we get there, bitch. All of the fucking billboards were Beyonce for her campaign with Tiffany.
You were up there with Beyonce? Well,
no, I mean, I wasn't up there with Beyonce.
No, but I mean, but you like, were up there.
No, she bought all the screens, bitch. Okay, it was okay, like, okay, you would okay. Go around, it was like, Beyonce, Beyonce, Beyonce. And I was like, damn, bitch. Like, can I be a princess? Like, I know I came in with very queen energy thinking I was going to be in Times Square. But can I be a princess? You know what I mean? Like, I was so mad at that bitch.
Beyonce.
No, love her. You will be receiving. Love her. Look, Beyonce is a Virgo and my moon is in Virgo. So
But you're also a Capricorn.
I'm a Capricorn.
And I'm also
yes.
a Capricorn.
Yeah. Little demons. Someone's being, oh my God, look, I love the fact that I brought this brooch. This was my señora moment. I got this in Mexico. Oh, I love this.
I love it too.
Pues sí, mira. So then I go, right? So Beyonce's up there. I end up going to a bar with my friend. And then a friend that I met when I lived in New York in 2013, I hadn't seen him since then. So it had been like 8 years. So we met up and he was at the bar and then we had a couple of drinks and then we went back, you know, to go take the train. So we had to go back through Times Square. And then at this point, all of the billboards changed again. So I was like, oh shit. Okay, cool. Okay. There's somewhere here. It might be here. Hold on, you guys. What's going on? And so we're looking around and then I looked that there's one above me and the moment I look up, my face just shows up.
Oh my God. Like, oh, imagine my God. That moment. It's like, I was La like, Malandrina.
Bitch.
In Times Square.
Hey, Ale.
Is that how it felt?
Hey, Ale. La pinche Jenny. Ay, ay. No.
What?
Te voy a conocer a la hija.
What? Can you reveal more information than that?
No, not yet.
Not live. Not live on air, but.
No.
But, so, okay. Let's get back into this. Who knows where we went? We went everywhere we needed to go.
Oh my God.
See, you're a Capricorn. See? Yeah. Talk to me about astrology and its place in your life because, in different things that I was looking at, that, you know, interviews and whatever, you bring that up a lot. So, and you seem to know a lot about it.
I mean, not that I know a lot about it, but I think sometimes when I go into my little astrology rants, porque una Capricornio.
Rants. We tend to do that.
Pero que rima con Capricornio? Demonio. Oh, that was good. No, I mean, I really like the fact, for example, Capricorns are half goat, half fish. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's some weird ass shit. Like, you know, everyone else in the fucking zodiac is like a fucking scale, a bull. You know what I mean? Like, you know, a crab.
But this one gotta be a hybrid.
This one is like fucking half goat, half fish. You know, mar y tierra. Like, we'll do some shit. You know what I mean? So I've always thought about the Capricorn as like a queer little thing in itself. You know what I mean? Mm. And then on top of that, but if you look at the calendar, Capricorns are December through January. So you end the year with a Capricorn and you set your resolutions to a Capricorn. You know what I mean? Like, that's some wild shit. So I just always enjoyed that little philosophy and that little thing. I love it. And then the Saturn return shit. And then
what is that?
Okay, so from what I know, the Saturn return basically happens when, you know, Saturn, it goes around, it orbits around the Earth and it takes about 27 something years. You know what I mean? So the closest that Saturn came into Earth just happened a couple years ago, and it came into the sign of Capricorn. And Saturn is the ruling planet of Capricorn. So the last couple years have been all about paradigm shifts and shit just changing.
Shit, hell yeah, it has.
Things moving around, and you'd be like, what the fuck? And you having to find those skills. And then I think for me, on top of that being 30, oh, which I'm excited about, Adele 30. Mm. Like, listen.
You're doble quince?
No, I mean, I want to fight Adele. I forgot.
Wait,
bitch.
I heard. Like, how do you like the new song?
I mean, no, I mean, that's the thing, though. It's like, I like it. Is Adele my guilty pleasure? I think that's what it is. I think Adele has become a guilty pleasure, and I'm like, oh, chica. But no, I mean, like, I liked Easy on Me. I was like, the thing I enjoy about Adele is like, 25 came out when I was 25.
Yeah, well, around that age. Yeah, for me.
And so I was like, oh my God.
No, it's 21. She did 20. She did 19.
19, 21, 25, and then 30.
Oh, okay.
And so the thing, at least, I mean, I don't know what the years were, you know, in between those times. But in the 21 and 25. Oh, pinche Adele, fucking math problem and shit. Fuck.
Her whole career is numerology. It's really trying to tell you something.
But anyhow, when 25 came out, I was 25, and now that 30 is coming out, I'm 30 and entering my 30s. So I really enjoyed that, and I was like, ugh. So I mean, Easy on Me, it's a good song.
Who are some of your artistic influences and heroes? Like,
you know,
I mean, we mentioned Juanga earlier.
Juan Gabriel, for sure. I think in those ways, in that regard, I do love me like that very iconic señora music feel vibe groove. La gata bajo la lluvia, Marisela, you know, fucking Daniela Romo, Ana Gabriel. Oh, that's been so beautiful, and I love that music. Y también there's been folks along the way like Adelina Anthony, amazing director, producer. I'm sure they do everything. Is their performer for they did a play called Bruising for Besos, and I remember seeing that at USC. So shout out to Adelina Anthony. I think about Coco Fusco. I think about Guillermo Gomez Peña, fucking Lorca. There's a couple of folks from all levels that have inspired me, I think. And even everyday situations where you see people finding their voice. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's about like, dope.
Yeah, that's inspiring.
That's a social worker. Okay, look, the social worker's power or magic is that we help folks find their inner power. Because we all have it, right? And it's like, how do we work through that and through everything that's stopping you from being your full dignified self?
Yeah.
And so I think of moments like that also inspire me. Yeah, yo. I mean, I had one yesterday. Like, there was another poet at the Queer Mercado, young poet, who asked if they could take a picture with me. And I said, oh, awesome. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I was also kind of like, bitch, because I drink a tall boy in one of the poems. And so.
Oh, I saw you. I was like, what? Is that a beer?
Yeah. And so before it was part of the spectacle and shit.
And then you were drunk.
No, I wasn't drunk. But it's like, I used to like drink at least half of it. You know what I mean? In that poem. And then just keep it through the end. Now I'm like, let me just take a sip out of it. You know, like, I'm older now. One tall boy and that's it. But so I still had a little bit and they came up to me. And I was like, oh my God, yes. Mm-hmm. I was like.
They wanted to take a picture.
Yeah. But it was really, really funny. But also I think those moments, like, that was a very beautiful, inspiring moment. You know what I mean? Like, seeing the billboard in Times Square, for example, with this friend that I hadn't seen in 8 years, and he met me in a very interesting year of my life, and then to reunite again and to be a part of the experience of me seeing this shit, mm-hmm. was like, it brought a you know, intimacy in that friendship, and that was very beautiful.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was inspiring. And to be like, it's because también when I found out that the picture was like in Times Square, just find out where they came out, like, it was something that was so unattainable in my mind that it was like, okay, I mean, if it's not there, it's not there. Like, I'm just like, I can't miss something I've never had. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was a weird feeling, but it was like, but it's also kind of crazy
that
it could happen.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, just thinking, it was a very wild connection of, like, you know what I mean?
So, I can imagine how that must have felt in your heart.
So it was kind of like, what?
Like and a little lightning bolt in your heart.
Yeah. And then I called my mother and I fucking cried. I cried like a 7-year-old. Uber driver must have been like, the fuck, but I was like, and she's like, ¿qué? I was like, mom, ¿dónde está la pinche pelota del año nuevo? She's like, oh yeah. Okay, Times Square.
Okay, got
and
it.
I was like, aww. But you know, it was a very emotional, and I cried, and it was really fun.
I want to talk about, well, crying leads to healing, you know, like crying is very healing. Yeah. I want to talk to you about healing and how you practice your spiritual hygiene.
I like that word. That's a good phrase.
I learned that in my energy cleanse one time. I guess my dad was coming through and that's, you have to practice spiritual hygiene. And I was like, I get it now. I get what that means. Like, I needed to be said like that for me to understand it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So how do you practice yours? How do you maintain your sanity? How do you maintain that vibe you brought with you from dance class to where I'm sure you bring everywhere with you?
Yeah, you know, I think today dance class was very beautiful. Dance class has become a spiritual. I think, you know, and so that the today's dance class and just dance in general has become like this commitment to just that little moment and in that space. And I always tell people that, like, if I say no to dance, bitch, then check in on my spirit. Something's wrong. Something is wrong.
That's a red flag.
Yes.
Red flag.
If I say no to a dance, that's the red flag. Me, at least for me, right? It's a check-in moment for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think about, I try to remind those moments or when I am dancing and I feel that joy in making a commitment to go to dance class again and reconnecting. Not only are you, because you know when I do the Monday the Movimientos,
yeah,
and stuff,
mm-hmm. like which is just, a series that he has on Instagram, and it's literally just you dancing in your kitchen every Monday, which literally every single Monday makes me smile so much. Like, well, one, that you keep doing that, and then two, that it's like, there's just something that you bring joy, like that brings so much joy.
Yeah, and you know, I think that that's been my commitment to the spiritual hygiene, you know, but I also know that I can do more, you know. I think I'm not dancing as like I was dancing before the pandemic. I mean, before I tried to go dancing, at least if it was in salsa dancing, I took class with another friend in love, Marina, and so it was always moments, you know, to take dance classes or to go out dancing. And now that things are kind of, you know, folks are vaccinated, you know, getting tested a little bit more regularly for different things that I have to do. So I'm, you know, just ensuring that it's like, okay, cool. Maybe I can take a dance class. What does this mean or whatever? And so I started doing that and it was so powerful and it was so great. But it's a lot made sense today. Mm-hmm. A lot made sense today.
It sounds like a big part of your spiritual hygiene. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. that body movement. Talk to me about your relationship with your body and your, you know, because you talk a lot about that. And I want to know if it was a journey to being body positive or if you always were.
I think so much of body and desire is connected with one another, no? So I think in the beginning and early stages of understanding my body, I always say though, but cumbia is like home. Cumbia, you know, that's when I learned my body. Mm. For sure, that's a moment in time. And I think it was always sort of this moment to like through dance, I could be a queer spirit. Like it's just the way that movement happens. It's so me, but it's also so powerful because I was told so many times. So I think that was a relationship with my body. I think when I became a dance major, there were things that I couldn't do. You know what I mean? Like it was like being in classes with folks who had trainings in studios, who took ballet. My first ballet class was in college, you know what I mean? And I decided to become a dance major. Mm-hmm. I look at some of the work there now and I'm just like, oh, chica, but you know, but I've always maintained a relationship to dance for sure. And I think even now I want to like, you know, more like even recently, through pandemic, my body changed. You know what I mean?
I think many of ours did.
Yeah, and so understanding that relationship now, understanding the politic, understanding how I feel, understanding like if my actions are reactions to emotions or is it proaction to healing?
That's a question you better, everybody, write that down. Write that down.
Yo, that was good. Well,
but which the way I would say that is my dad would say, are you acting from your wound?
Are you acting from your wound? Yes.
Like, or yeah, or are you acting from a place that's like your healed self?
Yeah. Oh my God. I need to write that.
Yeah, down. Write it down. Well, I mean, it's on our live. We have it recorded. We have it recorded. It's literally on national radio right now. Okay.
That was beautiful. ¿Ves? A veces así pasa el arte. We just gotta learn to hear it and let it be like, and listen. It's all about listening. Mm-hmm. Art and creativity is all about listening.
It definitely is.
I mean, we're living in a fucking living planet. Creativity, creation literally is everywhere. I mean, of course.
It's everywhere, including the LA River, because I want to talk a little bit about gentrification and that all that stuff, because I know you know a lot about it. But when I seen that scene of you, you were in the LA River, right? In that video that you were doing for Semilla.
Yes.
And I recently had an experience at the LA River where my whole life I grew up, in my head, the LA River was dirty. With like shopping carts and all that. And, you know, and then I recently went to Frogtown for an event and I happened to stumble upon the entrance and me and him went on a walk, and it is not the LA River that I remember at all. It's, don't get me wrong, it's extremely beautiful, but it was just like, oh, what's the only difference? The white people moved in.
I mean, it's interesting, right? And a lot of the beginning or how we talk about, I know you're going to get all urban planner and shit.
Okay, good. Keep it to 4 minutes. I'm just kidding.
Pero just thinking about like, you know, how much this neighborhood has changed. I feel like now, and just the city in general, like I remember downtown Culver City being one of the first developments. When they started redeveloping like downtown Culver City, that's how you knew gentrification was about to happen. And that must have been like in 2008 because I was still in high school. You know, I think about growing up by USC and I've seen my community, my neighborhood change with all these like developers who come, like international developers to do the Que Fucking student housing. Mm-hmm. And I think about the village and the monster that it is. Like, you know, I've always seen those things, and it's always like my commitment. I try to do that every day, or to think about my commitment and my commitment to community and what I do in my day job. Mm-hmm. You know, working at UC Berkeley as a researcher in transportation planning, like, I try to find ways and to think about, like, what would the writer in me say? Like, what has being a bus writer teach me about how I do transportation planning? Mm-hmm. So a little chismecito from earlier, segue. Bitch, I opened the tab yesterday in my computer, and I was like, I looked at a PhD in urban planning.
You looked at it? What do you mean?
Like, I looked at the admissions page. I was like, maybe a bitch is going to apply to a PhD.
You can't stop, huh? Are you addicted to degrees?
No, it's not that. You know, I think it's been about being strategic. I think, you know, like, at least, if anything, I'm probably going to write the personal statement. It's asking about career. And there's a couple of projects that I would love to do that are very much in urban planning, always with art, for sure. You know, I'm thinking
it. Well, all of those things intersect for you in everything you do.
Yeah, like, I think at a PhD level, or in the way that I present in my work, like, a bitch is about to be a professor. I was a professor last year at a different school. I wrote one article, but that means I have potential to do more. But I want to write what I want to write about. Mm-hmm. And I know exactly what it is. So if I can, you know, do that through a PhD, fuck that. Why not? But it will always still be art. I will be doing my shit on the side. Uh-huh. Have a way to structure my life so that this can grow. But also, like, I know my commitment is to being an artist. So I'm just like, the fact that I opened that yesterday was like, okay, let me think about that. But what am I really manifesting?
It's so, but that, I don't know, that environment isn't like, I found higher education to be very oppressive and very like rigid. And like, I only got my bachelor's, and I was just like, this is not for me. It's not for me. I felt like I had to relearn my voice as an artist, because I started coming to the lounge and my poems started sounding like essays. And they were long as hell, and like I felt like I had to like get my voice back, because I felt like college stole it, because they make you translate all your genius into MLA format. You know, like, it just like it becomes a structure. So how do you work around that?
You know, I didn't think about that too much yet, but I think I wrote another personal essay, and sometimes I think about what this little personal essay could be. I don't know. I'm going with the chance of maybe just knowing what I want to do, make a case for it. I'm seeing this personal statement more as a pitch. And I'm like, and even if I don't get in, at least I've articulated these ideas on paper. So when the opportunity comes, see, like, I want to have strategy. If the strategy is fresh in my mind now, let me write it down.
That's the Capricorn.
It's a Capricorn. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm very much like that. And so, what is one of the things that sucks for me as a Capricorn is feeling stagnant.
Oh, I can't do it.
I'm just like,
because we feel like, I don't know, this is like a dark side to it. It's like you feel like your worth is tied to your productivity.
I know, which is like, oh, but I don't believe in this shit. That's what I'm saying. Like, Capricorns, like the fucking straight men Capricorn are fucked up. And Jessica says that shit all the time.
Like, let's give an example. Like, who in pop culture is a straight male Capricorn that we can...
Oh.
We need like an archetype.
Oh, you know who
because I've never met Capricorn man, so I don't know. What do you mean by that?
You know who I share a birthday with?
Who?
Well, I know for sure that it's a Capricorn, because I don't think of any Capricorn men, but I always found this detail very funny. Marilyn Manson and I have the same birthday.
Well, that's a one creative soul. That's one. I mean, yeah, that's one expressive soul.
Uh-huh. But you know who I also share a birthday with, though? Alvin Ailey. Alvin Ailey is one of, like, in, like, dance history in the U.S., Alvin Ailey is, like, a choreographer, like, a badass.
What day is your birthday?
January 5th.
January 20th.
Oh, shit. I love it.
So I have a Capricorn sun, an Aquarius moon, and a Aries rising.
My rising is also an Aries.
Really? Mm-hmm. So you can get mean, huh? Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta work on that.
I discovered it the other day. They were like, oh my God, you're like mean, but like subtly mean.
Yeah.
So you don't realize that you've been mean. And then when you do, you're like, fuck.
You leave feeling like, wait a minute. Was that an insult or a compliment or what just happened?
Right. It was like, no, it was me aiding your journey to growth.
You're welcome. Ay, no tanto. This has just been the most, I don't know, the most natural, easy conversation ever. And I'm so glad that you came here, and I'm so glad that you said yes. What else? What other music did we have to, like, I don't know, we wanted to play ourselves out. I had some, wait, let's see. We had some cumbia here. We had that, and then I had pulled up a few other things, but what is your plan? Like, what is your plan for your general, I don't know, like, the next project? What do we have to look forward to?
Jose, there's Richard, a couple, I mean, there's a Aviles. Couple things. I guess, you know, there's a conversation right now about doing a performance here in LA in December. I still have to figure out, like, maybe the first or second Thursday of December. Uh-huh. Because, you know, the holidays come up and it's all wild and shit. So it's like, when is the socially acceptable time in December to still have a little hurrah before people do
early,
what they have to do?
Early December,
you know? So I got to just figure out the date. But I'm thinking about doing a performance. Now, I did something called it was like Soy Nalgona, a night of like poetry, dance, and comedy or some shit mm-hmm. like that in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And I did it all in Spanish. Mm. And it was a 90-minute show without knowing. Like, but so I'm thinking of like maybe I'll bring that back. And I had a great time and it was really, really fun. And I think the venue we're thinking of doing it holds itself perfectly for that. And I was like, well, maybe just let me do something and that'd be really, really fun. So I think that's coming up for sure. Then there's a couple of things like I don't think I can talk about.
Yeah.
You know, and there's still more dream. There's more dream for more things. And, you know, there's moments where you like just feel like you put out feelers, you talk to people and nothing seems right and you have no idea where to go. And then de la nada, something comes out and you're like, okay, I'm gonna listen. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, that constantly puts you in a place of survival, which is, you know, something that I've gone through and I still continue to go through, I think, in many different ways. But right now I'm like, maybe I have an opportunity to do something a little deeper. You know, I think Semiga, the book, taught me that writing a book took me a year in everything that it is. And I love Semiga, and I know how I can grow more. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just thinking, okay, but I know that that's going to take time.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, you know, finding the right thing. I have new work and new stuff. Maybe I should read some new stuff sometime. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll give you one of the new ones that are in Spanish. They're all in Spanish.
I'm going to help with that. But some of it, though, like a lot of times I'm like, I'm surprised at how much I actually do understand in Spanish. Yeah. I'm like, wow, okay, yeah,
I get it. I'll do a little Spanglish for you.
See, that's my language.
It's
written
in Spanish, but I'll throw the English in there when it makes sense. One of my favorite lines that comes from that poem, but it says, maybe I was too addicted to the honey that I could never give. I could never be grateful for the labor of the bee.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one. Wait, say it again.
Maybe I was too addicted to the honey that I could never be grateful for the labor of a bee.
Too addicted to be grateful. Wow, the labor. Yeah.
You know, at least for me, what it means is like there's moments and times where I feel like, you know, what you said earlier, that our worth is connected to our
productivity.
Productivity. So I think, you know, exactly that, right? And so for me, the honey being like the thing that aftertaste, la dulzura, comes after. But also there's a process that got us there in the first place, right? The labor of the bee.
Yeah.
And I think being grateful to process is just as important than to savoring the sweetness of products.
Oh, that's so beautiful and so, that's a big concept. That's like a work, that's like shadow work or something. Like.
Oh, chica. Oli.
I think. Oh, do we have any questions? Anybody who's hitting you up? Any friends? Any comments?
Preguntita. There's just two folks. I mean, you can turn on the Q&A. I don't know how to do that, bitch.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how to do it either.
Chica.
It's either a comment or nothing. But I wanted to end kind of by just, I don't know. I want you to sign off with kind of like a message for a. You know, a queer boy growing up in South Central with dreams and, you know, hopes that might be feeling confused or lost. What would you say to guide them?
I think one of the most beautiful things that I can think of now and where I am, how I feel and where I'm at is that I think, in, you know, much of what I shared with you today, especially in the beginning, right, asking about my childhood, I think there have been a lot of moments where I found joy. And joy is important because once you start doing the healing, you may never know how much you're growing if you're not also tapping into your joy. Because you're always going to see the trauma, the work that it takes to go through it, and the healing, which is beautiful. And in order to continue to do that, I think it's also important to live in moments of joy and find your joy. And I think listening to your joy makes you not forget to dream. I always think about dreaming too. Like, I'm like, dreaming is my little barometer for how my spirit is doing. Like, if I'm dreaming, like, if I have wild ideas because of the Capricorn energy and stuff, like, if I have ideas, even if they don't come to fruition, I'm okay with that. I think antes, you know, when I was in undergrad, it was like an idea and it had to get done. And it was like, okay, but that shit takes time, bitch. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so now that I'm learning those things, it's like, but the ideas are always here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And even my job as a planner, when folks ask me to do things as a planner, I just try to remind myself, like, they want this, not the institution I represent or the institution or the experiences that I'm bringing, right? They're trying to bring or they're asking me to speak on who I am or how I think. And I will never, like, not honor community in that. You know what I mean? Because that's where I learned everything. It was all protesting, you know, my first LA Pride. It was, you know, sitting down.
Community raised you.
Yeah, community raised me in many ways. And it's beautiful to think also, like, when I was at the Best Writers Union, a lot of, like, the mentors that, like, organized me are queer folks of color. And now I'm like, what a privilege to have had that. You know what I mean?
That's
a
very, like, they're kind of like our ancestors in that way.
Yeah, like a lineage, right? Like, I know sort of where the experiences that shaped me, and I think it's been beautiful.
Well, I thank you for bringing your magic to the Millennial Miha podcast.
Oh, thank you.
I loved having you. I love having you as a friend. I love listening to you talk. And I can't wait to see what else you create and what else you bring to the world. Thank you. So, yeah, we're out. This has been the Millennial Miha podcast. Thank you for listening.
It's the motherfucking Millennial Miha podcast.